Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot with your host, Dr. Frankfurter. I'm Neil Utron Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Granite Frankfurter Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly not want. When I first met Michelangelo, he was sitting dazed and confused, unable to do anything useful. So basically, it was Mikey any day in the week. Shredder!
Thank you!
Come quickly! Where are you?
I'm right over here, Krang!
Alright!
And that's the Mike.
Shredder!
And today we're going to do the Michelangelo roast. Well,
Shredder.
Actually, we're going to be discussing. Turn it off, Dill.
But first of all, scratch my back lobes.
Alright.
Shredder, don't be shy. Scratch a neutron's back lobes and he'll purr like a triceraton.
Okay.
I can't do that voice too all the time. I could try, but I'm not going to.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about Ninja Turtles, because recently I just got, I think I had a Facebook conversation and it inspired me to just start going whole hog into Turtles. What do you want to discuss first, Dill? Do you want to discuss the old cartoon, the comics, or the games first?
Probably the cartoon, since that's what we all kind of got started with.
Well, okay, we were getting the DVD set, and we watched the miniseries first. The thing about the miniseries is, the miniseries is a lot different than the show. I mean, it's still comedic, but the Turtles seem to have more of an edge to them, at least as far as fighting goes. They're not really afraid of getting.
The animation is a lot more consistent, too.
Yeah, and they only messed up the voices maybe twice. Going to that one episode with the Rock Soldiers, and these are two of the episodes I remember. I think I watched them in maybe 1990. That's when I seem to remember. I remember being in Gunnersville when I first saw them. And the episode with the Rock Soldiers, and I thought these were like the most badass things I'd ever seen. Especially when they're having a big fight, the Rock Soldier's shooting the tank, and they turn the turtle van around, and Raphael pops out with a machine gun.
Sweet.
Wait, I actually think I was watching the VHS tape they made. It was like a movie.
Yeah, it's the one that split up into one entire movie and just like the first two episodes.
I think it was split into a movie. Or merged into one.
I believe I saw it in 1989, because I know there was a long time before I saw any new episodes, and the fact that it took over Silverhawks for 1 week, just to show it. And we were just, I'm sitting there, like, where is Silverhawks? Because that's the time when Silverhawks supposed to be on, and Alan said, like, I don't know, maybe they're on vacation or something. And I just thought about the Silverhawks just sitting by the beach, still in their armored clothes, putting, like, shades on. You go first.
I was picturing them wearing helmets and getting suntans.
And anyway, by the end of the week, and after they finished the miniseries, and Silverhawks came back on, I was like, oh, I want Turtles on now.
It doesn't help that Silverhawks is not very good.
We have a caller in right now.
Okay, go ahead, little man.
I wonder if it's Casey Jones.
Let's find you.
Hello?
Krang, welcome in.
Hey, it's Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, how you guys doing?
So we're talking about I noticed a few months ago, the reason I asked you to call in was, I noticed you seem to have you have a great knowledge of the Archie Turtles.
Yeah, I grew up reading the TMNT Adventures from Archie in the early 90s, that's how I know the Turtles mostly. I didn't get to watch the TV show all that often, I had a couple of toys, but mostly I read the comics and even the spin-off comics, which was pretty sad. I have a pretty bad, pretty sick knowledge of the extended universe in the Archie world.
I was reading some of those recently through the Forbidden Methods, and the Archie comics are pretty good. I mean, they've got the good points of the TV show without getting bogged down by some of the laziness that the show got later.
Yeah, and it really departs from trying to be too comedic. They actually, once they broke, I think in like the early teens in those issues, they really broke away from trying to mimic the show entirely, and the editors just went crazy, and all the stories became like environmental awareness stories, and some of them were pretty violent and dark and dramatic. I think one of Man Ray's sidekicks gets killed by a bullet from one of the villains, and he has to bury him. And then eventually there's like a big spin-off group called the Mighty Mutant Animals. And
that's basically the Greenpeace ones, right?
Right. Yeah, well, there's the Conservation Corps, and then there's the Mighty Mutant. Yeah, then there's the Mighty Mutant Animals. The Conservation Corps, even when I was a kid, I saw through that. That was just a very shallow tie-in.
Well, it's like when I was a kid and I would watch Captain Planet, and I watched Captain Planet all the time because it came on a half hour before wrestling.
Yeah, it's very much like, it's better than Captain Planet. It's not quite as overt, but it's in a similar culture.
Right, so, you know, so I'd watch Captain Planet because they had me as a captive audience, and as a kid, I thought Captain Planet was a fascist before I knew what a fascist was. And I have this theory that Captain Planet was created by a bunch of oil companies to brainwash a generation of kids into not giving a shit about the environment.
Because the environment is boring and
well, no, it's too outlandish. What type of villain is basically his only thing is basically just wasting paper?
We'll get back to Turtles in a minute. The best Captain Planet episode is one with Captain Pollution.
I thought the idea of Captain Planet was just horrible. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have liked Captain Marvel when I was a kid either, but just the fact that he had to be summoned and the weather had to be just right, and they, you know, I just thought the kids were so lame. I really just wanted to see the superhero fight.
His weakness was the only thing he fights. Like, he has to fight Pollution, but Pollution is his weakness. Like, they throw sludge at him. It's like, oh, my weakness. Like, he could drop, like, he could, like, litter in front of him. He'll be like, oh, littering, I can't fight on.
Well, going back to Turtles for a minute, one of my, like, when I'm a kid, I have this, like, top list of things when I was a kid that made me lose my shit. Like, oh, my God, this is awesome. And one of these was when the episode of Turtles in the miniseries when Krang turned giant. And they get the turtle blimp to go after him. And in my kid brain, I'm going, oh, my God, this shit is crazy. And that's right up there with Serpentor versus Sergeant Slaughter in the swamp.
That's an iconic image from the Turtles cartoon. And there's actually a really good mashup on YouTube. Somebody took the scene where they're fighting Krang and they got the turtle blimp. They're fighting the giant Krang. Somebody cut, like, the Big Lebowski dialogue over that, and it's amazing. It's hilarious.
Who was the dude, and who was John Goodman's character?
Michelangelo is the dude, and I think Donatello is Walter Sobchak in the... it's pretty great.
I could somehow see that. Well, I tried to see before Raphael being it, but that works.
Yeah, you would think it'd be Raphael, but that might be what it is.
Going back to the Turtle comics, you know, because I'm guessing with the Archie comics, at some point they just weren't being supervised.
Well,
you know,
they stopped just adapting the cartoon after, like, issue 12.
Right, so they're
right?
Just doing what they want. It reminds me of, I was watching Power Rangers RPM the last Disney season. And with that season, Disney didn't care. Basically, they had a young producer who wanted to do his vision. So you end up with actually a pretty crazy season that's really good. Unfortunately, the guy did the two things that Disney did not want him to do. He was late and he was over budget.
Oh, man.
So he got fired.
Those are the sins. That's how Chuck Jones made all the artsy Looney Tunes cartoons, is he would crank out a bunch of Wile E. Coyote cartoons for cheap, and then make these artsy Bugs cartoons, but you got to be able to stay in the budget and all that stuff.
So they told him, yo, that was all he had to do.
Let me put this other caller in.
Okay, I think it's Eric.
Hey.
Hey, Eric.
Hey. So, we should talk about Raphael, and for some reason, how he's so different from any other Raphael, and...
Paul Paulson's 87 one?
Yes. The 80s cartoon one, yes. The 87 cartoon. He's sarcastic, which means he's cool but rude, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's just he's very sarcastic, but he doesn't seem overly aggressive, except for the miniseries, where he seems kind of anxious to stab somebody.
Well, not as much as Leo, from what we saw.
No, Leo wasn't anxious. Leo was stabbing people.
He wasn't making quips. He wanted to do the whole bit about what we said about him.
Yeah. It's hard to think of that Raphael beating people up. He's more like an 80s stand-up comedian.
And mind you, Leonardo, his solution to everything is cutting something. That's his ideal. Okay, I have to think of something. Takes out a sword, starts cutting. And if they
That's
see the foot soldiers now, you got to keep in mind, they don't know the foot soldiers are robots. Leonardo cuts one of them in two and eviscerates it. Circus cut. Oh, it's not a human, it's a robot.
Oh, it's a robot. I thought it was just committing murder.
Yeah, I think back then they couldn't make him super aggressive because I don't think having the super super gruff against the grain was as popular, and also they probably couldn't make him as sinister, or at least as like it was in like the 2003 cartoon or the like the movies or even the original comic.
But what about all those crazy supporting characters like Irma and Vernon?
Yeah.
Vernon was actually in the original Mirage comics. A TV reporter looked just like Vernon.
Seems I remember liking them for some reason. I don't know why. I was glad when they finally had an action figure of them, like a couple years later.
Oh, yeah, when they ran out of figures, like, we didn't do a lot of the tunes. Like, we didn't do the neutrinos. Here's the neutrinos. Here's Irma. Here's Vernon or something.
Yeah, the thing is, the action figures is that they weren't really based on the cartoon most of the time or the comic. It was just kind of like action figures.
Yeah.
Like Ace Duck.
Yeah, let's say Ace Duck never showed up on TV except for a cameo or something, and
he was
kept
a TV
waiting for
show.
Ace Duck to show up.
He was a wrestler in the Archie comics. I don't know.
Was he in that miniseries where they actually doing the intergalactic wrestling or something?
Yeah, that was in the main series. That went off after they stopped it, adapting the cartoon. They went to Cuddly, this giant floating cowhead from another dimension, picks him up and takes him to intergalactic wrestling show.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the fact that they had an intergalactic cow that basically just traveled, that just drops them everywhere.
Yeah,
even when they went to the
Archie out of
world,
mouth.
Like, well, we got the floating cow.
Which is actually, the floating cow is apparently a part of the main continuity now.
Really? Cuddly, the cowlick. That's amazing.
Yeah, they put the floating head into the main Mirage comics. Basically, it's a means of traveling through dimensions.
Yep. Hey, I've got a question about the action figures. What? There's a disparity between Man Ray and Ray Filet, the two names. I think Man Ray is it from the cartoon or the comic, and then Ray Filet is the action figure.
I think Ray Filet was what it was originally going to be, and I think they just changed it to Man Ray, because I think even in the video game, like Tournament Fighters, they just called him Man Ray.
Right, and in the comic, he was known as Man Ray.
I assume Ray Filet would be the trademark.
Think about the cartoons that I ran for a really long time, like much longer than I actually watched it. It was on since 1996?
Yeah, it was on until 1996.
Yes,
I
didn't know that new episode.
I was
on watching X-Men and Spider-Man and Batman. It's like, oh, Ninja Turtles still on?
Yeah, apparently they were. One thing I noticed, I was going on eBay, and the other night I was looking to see how much it would cost to try to find some of these old Mirage Playmates Turtles figures, and I noticed they had a lot of figures, and for some reason this dude had 5 Ace Ducks.
I always wanted Ace Duck, but I never could find them, so I need to hook up with that guy.
I had a lot of them. I had a Rat King. I had a Casey Jones figure that my grandpa's dog chewed up.
Yeah,
but the thing about Casey Jones is, when the dog chewed it up, it actually made him look better.
I remember I used a Casey Jones figure as jobbers for pro wrestling matches.
Yeah. Do you remember how he sounded in the cartoon, Casey Jones?
He was there, but he was kind of crazy. He wasn't.
Well,
he sounded like Wolverine.
They had this really bad, like, Punisher knockoff voice for him. And actually, it's the same
voice
he did
sounded like a crazy one.
And Krang. He kind of talks like this. He's always been trying
like
to be
Clint
a vigilante. What? That's what he sounds like?
Kind of like somebody doing a bad Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, it's like, copyright infringement, how low can you get?
I think what I like about Casey Jones is that you look at any other vigilante and you think, I can't do that. Even the non-powered ones. Like, you look at Batman, you know you can't be Batman or Nightwing or Daredevil. But you look at Casey Jones and you think, you know, you give me a baseball bat, I can probably crack a few heads before I get shot.
Or a cricket, too. Like from the first movie.
Yeah. Like, you could go, anybody could go make a Casey Jones costume by going to the Salvation Army with
$20.
Yeah. And they play that up in the first movie, too. That's so great. Go ahead.
No, you finish.
Well, I was just going to say, that's what I really loved that. When I was a kid, I hated Casey Jones in the cartoon, and it didn't make any sense, and I never wanted the toy. But then the movie came out, and I actually understood it, because it was literally like the Turtles had zero resources, and so did he, and he was just as scrappy as they were.
Well, I think they actually flushed him out in the movie.
Okay, so maybe I saw the cartoon before the, good.
I got the cheap box set that they have on Amazon. Yo, it's basically 4 discs on a spool for the movies, and I haven't watched the second movie yet. I'm planning on it, but I was watching stuff last night, and I didn't want to get burned out before the podcast. But me and the kids watched the first movie, and it really does hold up. It is just such a great movie.
It really is. That's a fantastic movie, yeah.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, hey, they're doing it wrong. Splinter's Rokosaki's pet, that makes no sense.
Well, it kind of merged the original Barrage comics and the cartoon.
And they did a very good job of it. They did a very good job of it. It really found the perfect balance. Unlike something like Next Mutation, which I would not advise watching on Netflix, Next Mutation is like this horrible merger of everything. You know, like from Venus to Milo. Let me say this. Venus, I don't use the term Mary Sue often, because I think it's very greatly abused. But Venus de Milo is the biggest Mary Sue ever. She's wiser than Splinter. She's smarter. She's a better strategist than Leonardo. She's tougher than Raphael. She's wise. She beat up Shredder by herself easily.
and all the turtles are in love with her.
That show wasn't very good, but it was still better than Ninja Turtles the Band. Yes, I remember. Even I was a little kid, I still like, is there a reason for this?
Well, no, it's because it's popular. They just wanted to tour around and get a lot of money for kids.
Do I want to hear them sing? I don't know.
I don't know. Pete
the very
Powell
frustrating
is good.
Thing
I mean,
about Next Mutation is
time.
The frustrating thing about Next Mutation was is that it could have been a good show. Because, mind you, at the time, this is going on as Power Rangers in Space is, which is honestly way too serious, if it's anything, you know. So, the same people were doing that, were doing Turtles. It should have been a very good show.
Do you want to talk about the crossover episode?
No. It's terrible.
That bad, huh?
It's a low point in 2 great franchises.
Oh.
Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles crossover?
Yeah, it's one episode of In Space.
I would not watch it. I would not advise watching it.
Yeah, if you have any time to watch on YouTube, there's a make behind the scenes mockumentary of the Ninja Turtle band where they act like they're a real band and stuff. And you see how crappy the turtles are when they're talking.
Do you remember what Shredder's costume looked like on that?
What?
Do
you remember what Shredder's costume looked like on Out of Their Shells tour?
Yes. I remember. Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah.
I got it, but I know why I had it. I was like, while they're singing. I don't know if I approve of this.
You know, going back to the movie, that movie probably had, I mean, just all the fight scenes in it. It had some of, like, the best fight scenes I've ever seen in any, really anywhere. One after another, like the big brawl in the apartment building.
Yeah, the floor falls through it. Something. Yeah.
And Donatello's telling them, he's like, guy, structurally speaking, I don't think this is a good ideal.
Yeah.
And then later, you know, but thinking about Shredder in the cartoon, one thing Shredder in the cartoon never seems to notice is he has far more success when he is by himself. I was watching this episode, and he kicked the turtle's ass, and he kicked Splinter's ass by himself, and he's got the turtles down. He's like, now to use the crystal to destroy the turtles. Kill them now! You have them on the ground!
I always wondered, because on the show, they consistently show that Splinter can kick the Ninja Turtles' asses. I always wondered, why isn't he out there fighting people? Why is he in his home all day watching soap operas? Why doesn't he go up there?
Or even better, when he uses the Dimension X credit card to hang up in a hotel with Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, Shredder. Eventually he just stopped caring. He was just mailing it in. Well, I think about the Turtle Show. I think the Turtle Show was a sitcom.
Well, according to James Avery, he deemed basically Krang and Shredder as basically like an old married couple. Was bickering constantly.
So has anyone seen Turtles Forever?
I saw parts of it and I really hated it.
Yeah, I've mixed thoughts about it.
It had such general contempt for the Fred Wolf show. And
yeah, they're
just
a little bit too wacky, the old Turtles.
Yeah. Have you seen the anime?
No.
They did these two specials in Japan for basically these toys, like their superhuman forms and like angel forms. It's only like two specials, but it looks really weird. I can't remember what it's called. It's something like superhuman mutation turtle something like that.
I have.
I've been reading them for a past week now.
Oh, I've never actually read that.
I read the last storyline of Volume 1, City at War, and it was great. I mean, it had good action. It was fast-paced. Now, some of the middle stuff is these one-shots they were doing by other creators because Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman were way too busy with Turtles to actually work on the comic. But that final storyline, it dealt with the Foot Clan, that after Shredder was killed, the Foot Clan kind of just went crazy because they didn't have a leader. Casey Jones had a baby.
It's so strange.
April was trying to make it on the West Coast.
Yeah. So strange how this whole turtle thing kind of started as a parody of, like, Daredevil.
Yeah,
they both
become way more famous than Daredevil.
But also all the other trends that were going on around the time.
Yes.
Well, it would also played it completely straight, too, which is something I like because it tends to make things funnier if you play it straight. Too many other things try to do a wink-wink, nudge-nudge. Which they kind of ex-date on the Daredevil A after a while, once they realized it was actually making money.
Do we want to talk about some of the video games?
Yeah, I thought we'd have more time for it. We might get into it next week when we do part two. I've been playing the Game Boy games.
Yeah,
which are really good platformers.
They basically rip off Ninja Gaiden.
Do what now, Neil?
But you probably never tried to play the first game on NES, have you?
Who, me? I played it a long time.
I got the NES game. I think I got it a couple years later at Funko Land or something.
Yeah, everyone got that game. The problem is that no one's really beaten it without cheating.
Yeah,
I'm just not interested in playing it again. I played it hundreds of times as a kid.
Part of the first two stages, and you get to the dam level, and you're like, fuck this.
I got past the dam.
Yeah, but that's bad. No, you think, Gamble is the worst part of the game, then you get to, like, later on.
And they said, oh, you have to get past these roadblocks. And I was like, fuck this. I guess you don't want me to save you, April.
I much prefer the arcade game.
Yeah.
That was a staple of everyone's birthday party. Everyone's arcade-based birthday party.
Yeah, you go to, like, the bowling alley, or you go to, you go to, like, skating rink or something.
When I was a
Everyone's
kid, I remember playing,
that.
Four NES.
People playing that. Yes.
Yeah.
I was playing the NES version
of the quarter in.
When I was about 9 or 10, I was playing the NES version of the arcade game. And playing it, you know, I had heard this word on TV because I watched HBO sometimes. And I'm like, 10, I'm playing. And I called a foot soldier a cocksucker. I got in trouble because my grandmother heard me. And my grandmother was like, what? And the thing is, I didn't know cocksucker was a bad word. I thought a cocksucker was a very unpleasant flavor of dum-dum pop. Like, you know, I thought it was like a cockroach-flavored sucker.
Now, how old were you when you did this?
9. I was 9 or 10. I was in, like, 4th grade. So, I got in trouble, and after that, I never said it again. Until now. And the time I said it to a cop. Ben, can you come back next week?
Yeah, maybe. Not sure yet.
Okay, we'll probably get around talking about the other movies, because I'm going to watch the other three. I'm going to probably watch 2 tonight, and I'm going to watch 3. God help me, I'm going to watch 3 sometime. Then I'm going to watch the animated movie.
Yeah, the 2, I'm really a fan of 2, but I can admit its shortcomings. And then the last one was actually pretty solid if they just had a better villain. That's all they lacked.
I saw it once or twice on HBO, and I liked it, but I'm going to give it my full attention. 2, I'm going to watch without expecting a sequel to the first one.
Definitely a change in tone.
And
that's
2
don't
might...
care to any of the series.
And mind you, 2 might be better just having watched X-Mutation.
Yeah, I'm sure. And give me over the third one. I mean, the comparison between the... Once you compare the second one against all the other crap and some of the other versions, it gets a lot better.
Which I loved, too, when I was a kid. I loved it when I saw it at the theater, you know. So, obviously, it was good with the target audience. I just got frustrated with how every time it looked like there was going to be a cool fight, something interrupted it.
I like that they said, didn't I see you guys at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
the thing when Shredder got punked by the pizza delivery boy.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, stop it, stop it. Oh, he's spinning the ball in his finger. Pardon me.
Do we have enough time to mention about the ninja rap? We got about a minute left.
The ninja rap is probably the highlight of the movie. It's a catchy song.
Very catchy.
You mean go ninja, go ninja, go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was catchy enough. I mean, I'm going to watch it just try to look at it with an open mind. All right, well, next week we'll return and talk more about Turtles, because apparently 30 minutes just isn't enough to get into all this so much awesome stuff. Eric, do you think you can come back?
Sure.
Okay, tomorrow on horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com, Duel Devil Loose Ends begins. That'll be a weekend edition only. Next week, Rise of an Old Breed will conclude, followed by Time's Up for Dreadwatch. And that Horsepower, the movie, themovie.blogspot.com ought to have new content going into June, probably. So for my 5 loyal readers, there's that.
And now it's time to play Rat King's favorite song.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, all you turtle fans.